In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The text is the Holy Gospel, which you heard read from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 11th chapter, beginning at the 14th verse. We'll be following the Gospel pretty straight on today, but particularly verse 28, where Jesus said, "Blessed, rather, are those who hear the word of God and keep it." This is our text. So what words our hymns cause us to pray? And you sang them with gusto, like you really meant them. They're words that startled me this morning as we were singing them. They're so true, how a hymn writer could look right into himself and to us and see us, and how fitting for today. "And in that day when hell itself assails us, grant us your peace, Lord. Peace in our hearts where sinful thoughts are raging. Peace in your church, our troubled souls assuaging. Peace when the world its endless war is waging. Peace in your heaven." We need this peace from our Lord, for in our minds, there are sinful thoughts that continue to rage away against us. In our church, we're a gathering of troubled souls. There's a lot that burdens us these days. And our Lord is here to assuage us, to give us peace and comfort. And of course, in our world, there's endless war. We need our Lord's peace. Today's bulletin cover is really one of those really striking ones. I got an email last week from a pastor saying, "Do you really use that bulletin cover in your church? Doesn't it scare the kids?" I don't know. I think every little 9-year-old boy goes, "This is great," right? And in the Te Deum panel, Ed Riojas, on his own, without any prompting, put in that wonderful little battle down at that end from the demon coming after the Christian in his armor. And the demon has just one weapon, a bone. It's coming after the Christian, and yet there's an army of angels fighting and defending us because your Lord loves you. As Dory led us in singing again and again and again from the Psalms, "For His steadfast love endures forever and ever and ever." He never stops this steadfast love toward you and me, even as we've got these sinful thoughts waging away in our brain, and even as we have our troubles in our souls this day and every day. And He says, this Lord who loves you and never stops loving you, He says, "Let my people go." He said it to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." That's why the plagues were sent, to try to get the children of Israel out of there. It was accomplished. They were set free. And Jesus in today's gospel is in effect saying, "Let my people go." He says it to a man whose tongue, whose speech has been bound by a demon. And Jesus sends that demon packing and lets that mute man now speak. And you're bound too. You're bound by lots of things. Me too. We're bound by recurring sins. We're bound by temptations that keep coming up in our thoughts. We're bound by doubts and fears. We're bound by physical pain and weakness that we don't like at all. I don't think there's anybody that likes being weaker or frailer or having pain nearly constantly. And it seems like when these things start coming on as we age, they just don't let go. And of course, we're bound also by the shame of sins done against us. When people have hurt us or mocked us or hurt us in dreadful ways, that shame just keeps coming back to us. We're bound to it almost, to the wrong that they have done to us. And it is Jesus who comes onto the scene and says, "Let my people go." You must be free, people, for I free you. He says this to this poor demon-possessed man, "Demon, get out of here. Let my people go." And when the demon left this poor man, he is able to speak. Can you imagine not being able to speak and how frustrating that would be? Never to say what's on your mind. Never to say, "I love you." Never to say, "I'm mad at you." Never to say, "Would you quit standing on my foot? It hurts." Never to be able to say anything. And now his tongue is loosed. It's free. He's free to speak. And the people marveled. Can you imagine how that mute man marveled? Jesus said, "Let my people go," when you were at the font. When he said to the demons and the sinful nature that was yours from conception, "Get out of here, let my people go." And when you were cleansed from all your sin, the sin you had inherited and the sin that you would commit through all your days, it was all forgiven in your baptism. You were clothed with Christ's perfect goodness. And God said, "You are my dear child, now free completely. How dear you are to me. You are unbound. You are free. And yes, you will have your sins and doubts and temptations and fears and pains. But one day I will set you completely free from all of those too. And you will be free then forever from them." And so your tongue at your baptism was set free. Set free so that you can confess this true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who loves you, whose steadfast love has never failed for you throughout your days. You've been able to confess Him, which is a remarkable thing in our day. That you've been able to say the creed. That you've been able to confess that Jesus is Lord. For no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Your confession of Christ is a wonderful gift from our Lord, who set free your tongue, who said, "Let my people go." Now, sadly, the reaction to Jesus letting this mute man speak is pretty odd, isn't it? It's really surprising, I think, although it shouldn't be surprising to people that live in a cynical day like ours. Some of them said, "Oh, he casts out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of the demons." You could just see him right there on CNN saying this, can't you? While others, to test him, kept seeking from him a sign from heaven. Really, a sign from heaven for casting out demons and letting new people speak? Don't you think this is a sign from heaven? And for those who claim that Jesus is really Satan, that's why he casts out demons, Jesus acts like a professor at Aquinas. He gets all calm and just gives some reasoning here. "Well, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided kingdom can't stand. So if you say that I'm casting out demons because I'm Beelzebul, Satan, well then, Satan's kingdom is completely fallen. And for that matter, your own sons cast out demons. Are they doing them by Satan? Is that what you're saying about your own folks? Therefore, they will be your judges." Jesus answers very calmly, but then he adds something very important. By the way, in our day, this same kind of lying, this is Satan talking. You can hear it. Satan is the father of lies, and he accuses Jesus, truth incarnate, of being Satan. Why does he do it? Because he's scared to death, and he knows who Jesus is, and he doesn't want you to know who Jesus is, and he's the father of lies, so he lies. In our day, don't be surprised when people say about you, because you want people to have life and salvation and freedom and peace and joy forever in Christ, that people call you unloving and mean and narrow-minded and arrogant, because you love them and you want them saved by the death and resurrection of Jesus. Don't be surprised that if you stand up to defend our poorest, weakest neighbors, if you stand for what's right and true, if you stand against the sexual rebellion of our day and stand for what's right and pure and true and good, the people are going to call you all manner of evil names that you're haters and mean-spirited and narrow-minded. What do you expect Satan to say? Listen to Jesus, who calmly answers and is not flustered by this at all. What do you expect? And then he adds, but if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come. The finger of God was mentioned in the Old Testament reading today from Exodus. The plagues have started. We now get on to the plague of the gnats. Gnats everywhere, just everywhere. And the Egyptian magicians are unable to imitate this plague of gnats. I don't know why you'd want to be able to imitate a plague of gnats, but they are not able to imitate it. And this convinces them that this is God doing it, not just some trickery. This is the finger of God, they said. And here Jesus says, it is the finger of God casting out the demons. Of course, it is the finger of God connected to the hand of God, connected to the arm of God, connected to the body of God incarnate, your Lord Jesus Christ. And perhaps he's saying it's his finger, the finger, for this is a word of judgment, like the gnats were a word of judgment against Egypt. And perhaps it's because it doesn't take the arm of God to cast out demons, but just a little flick of his finger, maybe even his little finger. It's hardly anything for him to defeat a demon. For us, it would be impossible. Demons would have us destroyed in nanoseconds if our Lord allowed it. He defends and protects us. But it is by the finger of God that this demon has been cast out. And Jesus tells you and me the big picture. When there's this strong guy who's put everybody under his oppression, holds everyone under his sway by force and might, when a stronger one than he comes along and binds him up, the one who is binding all sorts of people up, well then, that stronger one is able to set free all that that strong one had held captive. This, of course, is all about your Savior, whose steadfast love endures forever, who is the stronger one, always has been the stronger one, but who let himself be the weakest among us. He let himself be the one that was bound, by nails to a dead piece of wood, that there, letting Satan mock and insult and lie and attack with full fury and hatred and anger, and bearing the full wrath of the Father for all of my sin and yours, Jesus would take away the sin of the whole world, take away every single one of your sins, so that you are completely forgiven and free through Jesus' resurrection from the dead. And you have the guarantee through that resurrection that nothing that harms you will bother you eternally, but you will be set free, and your body will be whole and strong and new again. Throw away your glasses and walkers and hearing aids, and delight that the day is coming when those things are cast aside as he raises us from the dead. Oh, keep them now. I didn't mean it that way. But on that day, you get to throw them away. Now Jesus says then a sobering word. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. And he says that when a demon's been cast out of a person, that demon looks for somewhere to go. And if that person is just swept clean and gets their life together, gets free of maybe addictions or troubles or whatever, and gets all in shape and everything, but isn't filled with something, then the demon's going to come back and find that nice empty house, and he's going to move in with seven of his buddies, and it's going to be worse than the worst college frat house you can imagine. For that man, it will be terrible. You can't be neutral when it comes to Jesus. And you can't just have the demon sent away and not be filled with something. Someone's got to fill you. And our Lord wants Himself to fill you. He wants to live in you. He wants to come into you with His body and blood, with His holy word, to cleanse you from the inside. He loves you. He delights to be with you. But apart from Him, we are wide open to every kind of evil there is imaginable. When I was younger, our neighbors took off for a couple weeks every summer, and they would have me watch their German Shepherd, which stayed outside, had a little doghouse outside. It was my job once a day to make sure there was food and water for this vicious beast. And this dog was on a chain that was on a long line, so it had this big oval that it could run in. And you could see exactly where that oval ended, because the line and the grass, there was no grass at the edges of this as that vicious German Shepherd would prowl constantly. And so it was my job once a day to go and fill the water and food, put it within inside of that oval, and then escape with my life. And I learned early on, you never put that food and water, you never go into that space without being very conscious of where the dog is. And when you put it down, you back up slowly and get outside of the full range before you turn around and start walking or running home. I made the mistake once, and my jeans were ripped because of it, as he nipped at my calf. Look, the demons are prowling around all over this world. Don't walk around within their path, like Paul talks about in today's epistle from Ephesians, with coarse joking and rude gestures and all manner of sexual sin. Don't think you can just kind of wander around in there with no danger. The demons are real. And they hate you. And our Lord is here to protect and defend you. Let Him. And that is exactly where this text then ends, with these beautiful words that seem sort of out of the blue, but make total sense in the context. In the middle of Jesus' speech, a woman cries out from the crowd, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which nursed you." I think it makes total sense. An empty person is open to Satan, and Mary, of all people, was filled with Jesus, wasn't she? Carrying Him around in her womb, and then carrying Him around in her arms as He fed at her. Makes total sense. And Jesus says, well, actually, you're exactly right, only it's even better than that. He says, well, the ESV has it, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. It's actually the Greek's a little less negative. It's blessed indeed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. What was the blessing that Mary received? She heard the word of God from the angel Gabriel and she believed it. Let it be to me as you have said. And she was then the mother of our God. And for you and me, you hear the word of God. You hear the word of Jesus that says, let my people go. That frees you from your sin. That forgives it all and cleanses you. His word that makes bread and wine become His body and blood to cleanse you from the inside out. His word that covered you with His perfect righteousness at your baptism. You hear that word. And hold on to it, believe it, trust it, live by it. You are blessed by Jesus. Blessed as Mary was blessed. Blessed so that you are filled with life that drives away the demons and keeps you safe. This is the gracious gift of our God, who knows what sinful thoughts are raging, who knows what troubles your souls and the assuaging they need. And He delivers it all here for you in the word and peace of Jesus. Thanks be to God in Jesus' name. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting.